This is Rich Aurelia, and you're listening to the weekly podcast on RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You got the Red Hot Mama coming at you from Redsland on this June 17th, 2006. I'm here today with my crack technical staff, watching the game with the White Sox. Yesterday they lost, Brandon Clausen lost pretty spectacularly, wouldn't you say?
Yes, that was beautiful.
But tonight we had Eric Milton going, and he was looking pretty good. He was real solid until that sixth inning. But even that, I don't give him credit for.
That was all Friel's fault.
I kind of give that to Friel for cutting off that throw from left field that prevented the out at home from happening and allowed two runs to score. Kind of sucked, huh?
Yeah, it did, and especially sucked in the next inning when they had McCracken bat for Milton. Well, you know,
what is the love affair with McCracken over here? You know, McCracken.
Release the McCracken.
They have Milton coming up in the order, and Milton's not been hitting as well as he had been, but he was still hitting 176 to McCracken's 174,
which means he's just as effective as McCracken at getting out.
Not getting on base, and surprisingly more effective as a starting pitcher, somewhat.
Well, of course, McCracken does get out, and then they bring in David Weathers.
Frankly, I don't know if I approve of pinch hitting at all in that situation, because I think, you know, Milton had a pretty good thing going on there, and they did end up bringing in Weathers, who promptly gave up, what, two hits, and then did finally get out of the inning.
It's a one-run game now.
He did get out of the inning, though, without giving up the lead, at least.
Okay, there's a point in his favor, I guess.
But you know, it's like he just came off the injury that should have been a trip to the DL. And they're putting him into the game as if, like, he's going to be the same pitcher that he was back when he was good before he was hurt. You know, just because he's had a couple days off doesn't mean that it's time to, you know, test that that injury right away.
I don't get it. But it could have been worse. They could have brought in the white flag.
Yikes. There's a scary thought right there. Oh, well. McCracken got the pinch hit opportunity, and I had the bet on strikeout. Crack technical staff here thought he was going to
ground out.
Yeah. Easy ground out, but no, I won that bet.
Yeah, when it got to 3-2, I knew you were right.
Ah, yes, he was hoping for the walk. He wanted that one, too.
Speaking of injuries, though, Clausen's on the DL?
Yeah, I just read that on the official site.
For
He's
what?
On the 15-day DL.
Sucking?
That's the answer, isn't it, when your pitcher's sucking and you don't know what to do with
him? Yes, he's injured.
Yeah, I guess he had some. He was complaining of some left shoulder soreness. You know, Clausen got a little bit screwed yesterday because he sucked. I mean, don't get me wrong, he sucked. But he only gave up. He gave up seven runs and then left a couple on base, left a few on base when Mays came in.
Right.
And so Mays promptly lets two of his inherited runners score.
Both of them.
Yeah. And then
it's like,
and he, in doing so, he makes Clausen's line worse and does nothing at all to his own. You know,
right.
He's like, now he's sitting there. And all of the game wraps afterward, and, you know, everyone talking about the game afterward, all they could say was like, yeah, Clausen gave up nine, and Mays had one earned run and one unearned run through his innings. You know, that's really not the story there, because those two inherited runners, it kind of makes me ill to ponder the notion that he could have done it on purpose.
That'd be funny. If he did that on purpose, maybe he does deserve to be pitching, because that's pretty devious.
That's pretty,
and talented.
Yeah, pretty cagey. But it's like, he probably didn't, but that doesn't really help his case either, because that means he just lets people score.
You know, that's a stat that I don't really see kept track of in a pitcher's ERA, especially starters. Like, what's their ERA if you don't count all those runners they left on after they were taken from the game?
Because really they were deprived of the opportunity to get themselves out of that.
It seems there should be a...
Doesn't seem fair.
Some mark, too. Maybe there is. I'm just not aware of it.
Well, not in the pitching line. I mean, it's not readily apparent.
Not in the box score or anything.
But, you know, he's on the DL now. Maybe we'll take care of that rotator cuff inflammation and he'll come back and, be the harangue junior that we all want him to be.
Guess what?
What?
Hammond's in and just tied the ball game.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Hammond.
Awesome.
You know, it sucks because, Uribe, they just hit a home run. Solo shot, looks like. You know, it sucks because Hammond was one of the few relievers that I was starting to get to count on there. But you just never know. It's really hit or miss with all of these guys.
Pretty much.
Hit or miss. unfortunately, mostly hit.
You know, what I'm surprised that they haven't done is bring in the secret weapon for their bullpen.
Yeah.
That Wankriski just traded for this week.
A new acquisition?
That's right.
Who's that?
Juan Castro.
Well, that does make that move make a little more sense.
Because he's got to be able to pitch middle relief, right?
Powerhouse out of the bullpen because that was the gaping wound of this, and that would certainly of this team, and that would certainly be the space they'd be trying to fill with any transactions they would make. No, seriously, what the hell, Juan Castro? I mean, I'm sure he's a hell of a guy. Don't get me wrong.
I appreciate that.
I'm not saying that I want him to, you know, be in pain somewhere.
No,
I'm just saying, what the hell? What the hell?
I appreciate that Felipe Lopez and Edwin Encarnacion haven't done, you know, perfect or great over on the defense on their side of the infield, but...
Oh, how about done? Don't forget done.
The whole left side. Castro doesn't play left.
I bet, but you know what? You know who does? Olmedo.
Yeah, he does. He's shagging flies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, Olmedo's not probably not as good as at defense with the glove. He's no Manos de Oro. Screw you, George Grant.
That's not nice.
Oh, Griffey didn't catch a ball because he's slow. Oh.
You know, I know this is a brief aside, but Chris Norfia looks pretty damn good in that bats game we
saw.
Man,
was he just... He was a level above everyone else. Yeah. I would say that was AAA. He was probably...
A little bit higher than that?
A little bit higher. I don't know what comes after AAA, but...
Something. There it is. There's something about that. Some option. Yeah. Yeah, we went down to a Victory Field in Indianapolis and saw the Louisville Bats take on the Indianapolis Indians. We're two of the few Bats fans in attendance. So, you know, every time something good happened, we were cheering and everyone's glaring at us.
Well, that's not our team. Why are you clapping?
We got the seats that we usually get at Victory Field, or not usually. I guess the seats we got one time and really liked at Victory Field were right next to the bench where the bullpeners sit when they're waiting, you know, during the game before they start warming up or anything. We didn't get those seats this time. This time we got the ones that are right by the pitching mound in the bullpen. And the way it's set up is the benches are right there. So we're in the second row. And no kidding, there's a guy that is like 10 feet in front of us. Like, if I stood up and went to the wall, I could reach out and touch him. It seems like he's probably a little further away than that. But it's so close that, like, they can hear you. They could hear you just, like, talking quietly to each other.
Yeah, they moved the bullpen and the benches from last year. Like,
you think so?
Yeah, definitely. That's the same section we were in last year when we were right behind the bench. And the bullpen was down now where the bench is.
He says this because he ordered the tickets.
That's right.
Anyway, so we're standing sitting uncomfortably close to these people and watching them warm up, and I was feeling really self-conscious about taking pictures because, you know, that barrier that you usually have between, like, performer and audience is just really not there. There were a few women behind us the first game that were just flirting like crazy. They were just, like, hooting and hollering at Jake Robbins, of all people. They thought he had a cute smile. I think, you know, Standridge is in that bullpen, and they're hooting at Jake Robbins.
Yeah, well, Robbins ended up doing well. I think he got the win that night.
Yeah, he did all right that night. Yeah, he did.
That's funny.
That's right. They were trying to throw down a souvenir baseball with the one girl's phone number on it, but the usher wasn't having any of that. I don't know.
Nice.
I think that, you know, he probably would be all right with it because, you know, how much action is Jake Robbins getting? I don't know. We saw the Love Shack warming up.
That's right.
We saw Standridge. We saw Wagner. Oh, Wagner got his ass kicked.
As usual.
God. Wouldn't it be great if Wagner could come around?
I know. There's nothing in AAA to help the bullpen.
Yeah.
They need to be looking down lower, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. There's no solution at the moment.
Well, what are they going to do? Bring up someone from AA? I mean,
teams have done it before to mixed success, but, you know, can it be much worse than what they've been doing?
Well, it can if they destroy any of their AA talent. I mean, we don't need another
true.
Wagner. We've got one of those. I think that it's got to come from exterior. You know, they're going to have to stop sending people away for Juan Castro and instead send people away for someone who's going to help in the bullpen. That's all I'm saying. Is that so much to ask? Well, I suppose that before we end here, we ought to mention that we've got the big 1975 World Series 7 DVD set, collector's edition, special, deluxe, everything. It looks pretty awesome. I haven't actually put any of the DVDs in yet.
Yeah, we'll be watching some after the
I'm sure we
game
will
tonight.
Because it really does look very very interesting, and it's a badass collection. It's really very complete. Like I said, 7 DVDs in one big box. You know, this thing, it retails for I think that the official price is like $69.95, something like that. You can find it places as low as $40, something like that. But I mean, even so, that's a pretty sweet prize to be given away. And all you got to do is come to red-hot-mama.com and write yourself a Reds or otherwise baseball-related haiku. Make yourself an account, log in to the entry where I've requested haikus, and put up a haiku. Doesn't have to be good. It does have to have 5 syllables, 7 syllables. Five. Well, you know, actually, one of them doesn't do that, and I'm probably not going to disqualify it. So, really, we're going to be pretty lenient with the entry. I'm very pleased to say that I already have more entries than I have prizes.
Yeah, and that's always a concern.
Yeah, that's always
a
concern with a site like mine.
Yeah, it's a concern anytime.
Anyway, so definitely log on there, and if you don't win any copies and you you know, just want to buy one, you can find them on the
MLB.com
store. They've got them, and also on A&E, the A&E channel's website. If you did a search on the Cincinnati Reds 1975 World Series Collector's Edition 7 CD DVD Ultra Deluxe, you know, just throw as many words in there as you can, and or you can get to the links from redhotmama.com.
That's
they're right there in that post.
And when's the deadline for those haiku?
Yeah, the haiku have to be in by 11:59 p.m. on Monday night, so you know that midnight time, Eastern daylight, and then I'll draw the winners on Tuesday, and we'll announce the winners then, and get them shipped out. And so, you know, if you're wanting to win them as a Father's Day present, you know,
a belated one.
Stall.
Yeah. Stall.
So before we get out of here, I want to play a song that I promised I'd play on the podcast like 2 months ago. Ryan Parker's Cincinnati is a Baseball Town. You might remember the name from his first song, and this one belongs to the Reds. Pretty good number. This is much along the same lines. And I hope you enjoy it. And the game is tied at 5s in the bottom of the 8th. They just caught Dunn's deep fly to center field, and we're hoping for a good outcome. So
go Reds!
Bronson Arroyo is ruling the mound. Let us be glad for what Wayne Krivsky found. When he dealt Willie Pena off to Beantown. Aaron Harang has been throwing down strikes and hanging up zeros. It's what we all like. Isn't it great having Bob Castellini around? This is our year, the year of the Reds, when we will silence all the talking heads on ESPN and sports radio, who all pick the Cardinals. What do they know? This is our year, and we're on a mission. Inspired by the power of a mighty tradition, let's fill up the seats and make a loud sound, saying Cincinnati is a baseball town. Freeland Felipe are off to the races, while Adam Dunn's bat surely erases any brief lead that opponents might have enjoyed. Weathers and Merker hold down the bullpen. I love it when Todd Coffey hurriedly runs in to retire the side and help us a loss to avoid. This is our year, the year of the Reds, when we will silence all the talking heads on ESPN and sports radio, who all pick the Cardinals. What do they know? This is our year, and we're on a mission, inspired by the power of a mighty tradition. Let's fill up the seats and make a loud sound, saying Cincinnati is a baseball town. Edwin and Phillips have been a surprise with such timely hitting and clutch RBIs, while Richie Aurelia and Hatterberg daily take turns. at sharing the glory. That's why we're faring so well for our manager, Jerry Nairn, along with the home run power of Griffey and Kearns. This is our year, the year of the Reds, when we will silence all the talking heads on ESPN and sports radio, who all pick the Cardinals. What do they know? This is our year and we're on a mission, inspired by the power of mighty tradition. Let's fill up the seats and make a loud sound.